Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some very unusual and sometimes unexpected topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world on numerous topics. The program provides a time out from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So, please give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh, cause you to remember something from another era, or just pique your interest, such as this particular article. Yamas arrest thief by surrounding him until police arrive. In a delightful turn of events, a daring attempt at theft was foiled by a remarkable herd of Yamas, showcasing their protective instincts and adding a touch of whimsy to an otherwise tense situation. Last Monday evening, as darkness settled over the farmland of Heidi Price and Graham Oliver in Derbyshire, England, the couple was alerted by their animal's enthusiastic alarm calling, signaling that something was amiss. A man who had just stolen from a nearby woman sought to refuge by squeezing through a fence onto Heidi and Graham's property. However, his plans quickly unraveled when 8 curious Yamas sprang into action, galloping towards him and forming a protective circle around that startled intruder. Their lively presence not only caught his attention, but also served as a natural alarm system, prompting Graham to investigate the commotion. When Graham entered the field with his dog, he discovered the terrified thief encircled by the gentle giants, who were clearly not keen on allowing anyone into their territory after sunset. Heidi, who arrived home to find police officers gathered, described the scene with a smile. Our Yamas galloped over to him and surrounded him. They literally made a circle around him and then started releasing their warning cry, which sounds like an old man laughing. The situation unfolded with a touch of humor as the barking dog added to the thief's growing anxiety. With a little help from Graham, the man was guided back across the field and over the fence, where police were able to take him into custody. Heidi reflected on the peculiar turn of events, noting that if the Yamas hadn't intervened, the man might have encountered even larger obstacles, such as 5 massive bulls further down in the field. But the Yamas made a citizen's arrest, she joked, humorously suggesting they might deserve an award for their bravery. Heidi's journey with her Yamas began a decade ago when she rescued them from a closing farm. Since then, she's become a proud member of the British Yama Society, learning to train and socialize the once timid animals. Through her dedication, the Yamas have blossomed into a calm, confident companion, even serving as therapy animals to support individuals with mental health challenges. In fact, her innovative therapy program has been recognized in the British Journal of Occupational Therapy. Heidi shared some fascinating insights about Yamas, noting their unique defense mechanism, spitting, and how they were once on the brink of extinction until the exceptional guarding abilities were recognized. Now they play a vital role in protecting livestock and bringing joy to those who interact with them. The Derbyshire police confirmed that the man is in his 30s and has been arrested on suspicion of theft and released on bail. Throughout this unexpected adventure, Heidi proudly stated that her Yamas behaved impeccably, maintaining their gentle manners even in the face of adversity. Their spirited response to the situation not only saved the day, but also highlighted the wonderful bond between humans and animals. This article is titled, Yamas Arrest a Thief by Surrounding Him Until the Police Arrive. Our next article is by Benji Jones. Something very unexpected is happening in Norway's polar bears. Polar bears became the poster child for the peril of climate change for obvious reasons. They hunt seals from ice, and as fossil fuels warm the planet, the ice where these bears live is melting. For more than 3 decades, scientists have been warning that climate change could drive polar bear population to extinction. That message infiltrated the public, but as scientists are continuing to learn, the reality for these iconic bears is much more complicated. In 2022, scientists published a study showing that polar bears in southeastern Greenland were able to use glacial ice instead of sea ice to hunt, sheltering them from some of the impacts of warming. As a study published late last year revealed, some changes in polar bear DNA that may help them adapt to hotter weather. Now, research in the journal Scientific Reports adds yet another wrinkle of hope for the species. The study, an analysis of hundreds of polar bears in the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard, found that the declining sea ice is not causing polar bears to starve. They actually appeared healthier in the last 2 decades of the analysis from 2000 to 2019. The overall population, meanwhile, is either stable or growing, according to Jan Ars, the study's leading author and a scientist at the Norwegian Polar Institute. I was surprised, Ars told Vox from Svalbard. I would have predicted that body conditions would decline. We see the opposite. Benji Jones wrote, "Something very unexpected is happening to Norway's polar bears." Okay, listeners, here's a question for you. Why do we say barking up the wrong tree? If you've ever heard someone say that they're barking up the wrong tree, you might have a chuckle or maybe even a laugh. The phrase paints a vivid picture of a confused dog howling at a tree while the object of its desire, perhaps a squirrel or a bird, has long since dashed off in another direction. But what does it really mean, and where did this quirky saying come from? Let's dig into the roots of this phrase and unravel its history, meaning, and some fun anecdotes along the way. The meaning behind the phrase. At its core, barking up the wrong tree means to pursue a mistaken or misguided course of action. Imagine a detective who's convinced the wrong suspect is guilty, or a student who spends hours studying the wrong chapter for the exam. In both cases, they are metaphorically barking at a tree that holds no answers or rewards. The phrase suggests a sense of frustration and futility, often accompanied by an air of misdirection. It's a way of saying, hey, you're looking in the wrong place, or you're chasing after something that is not there. The idiom is commonly used in everyday conversation. For example, if a friend is convinced that their partner is upset due to a specific reason, but you know it's actually something entirely different, you might say, "I think you're barking up the wrong tree." It's a friendly nudge to redirect the focus. How did this all begin? The origins of barking up the wrong tree can be traced back to the early 19th century in the United States, primarily within the realm of hunting and dog behavior. In the early 1800s, the phrase began appearing in the American literature and newspapers, particularly in the context of hunting raccoons. During a raccoon hunt, hunters would release the dogs to track the scent of an elusive critter. Once the dogs caught the scent, they would chase the raccoon up a tree. If the dog mistakenly barked at the wrong tree, it would be futile. There would be no raccoon to catch. This scenario illustrates both the literal and figurative elements of the expression. The phrase captures the essence of being misguided or misled, whether in the realm of hunting or in one's everyday life. A glimpse into its usage through time. The phrase gained wider usage in the 19th century, particularly in American literature. Notably, writers like Mark Twain and other contemporaries contributed to its popularity. In Twain's work, you can find instances where he employed the phrase to draw attention to foolishness or errors in judgment, making the idiom resonate with the audiences. One of the earliest recorded uses of the phrase comes from an 1835 editorial in the Knoxville Register. There, a journalist described someone who was barking up the wrong tree in political context. This indicates that the idiom was not only popular among hunters, but also found its way into discussions about politics and society. Barking up the wrong tree has made its popular mark on culture, echoing through movies, TV shows, and literature. Its whimsical imagery makes it a favorite among writers and creators looking to convey confusion or misdirection. For instance, in the beloved animated series The Simpsons, characters often find themselves in ludicrous situations that perfectly exemplify the essence of barking up the wrong tree. Homer Simpson's antics frequently lead him to misunderstandings that could easily be summarized by this phrase. Moreover, the phrase has been referenced in countless songs, books, and speeches, proving its versatility and relatability. Whether in a comedic context or a serious discussion, it remains a fun way to express a common human experience, the feeling of being lost in pursuit. And here are some related expressions. The English language is rich with idioms that express similar sentiments. For example, missing the mark refers to failing to achieve a goal or misunderstanding a situation. Similarly, going down a rabbit hole suggests getting lost in a complex issue, often straying from the original topic. The expressions highlight a universal theme, the tendency of people to misinterpret situations or to chase after the wrong leads. Language is a fascinating tool that allows us to encapsulate these experiences in colorful phrases, reflecting the creativity and nuance of human communication. In the end, barking up the wrong tree is more than just a colorful phrase. It encapsulates a universal truth about human nature. We often misjudge situations or become so fixated on a particular idea that we fail to see the bigger picture. The phrase invites us to approach our pursuits with mindfulness and clarity, reminding us that sometimes it's beneficial to step back, to reassess, and to ensure we're on the right path. So the next time you find yourself or someone else barking up the wrong tree, remember the humorous origins and the wisdom embedded in this quirky expression. Armed with the knowledge, you can share the story behind the phrase, impress your friends, and perhaps even help someone redirect their efforts into a more fruitful direction. After all, life is too short to waste time chasing after the wrong tree. Okay, we go from there to weird historical events that no one has been able to explain yet. Who doesn't like a good mystery? And if the mystery isn't a work of fiction, but the result of a true story, that's even better. The greater unresolved enigmas of history are absolutely fascinating. Some have been solved over time, but there are still many old secrets for which neither scientists nor historians have found an explanation, as of yet. Time travel with us, we uncover 10 of the biggest historical mysteries that will probably never be cracked. A ghost island. Bermea Island is mentioned in navigation texts written by European travelers and appears in cartography from the 16th to the 19th century. Old maps place it off the north coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. However, multiple searches over the years have yielded no concrete evidence of its existence. So what happened to Isla Bermea? Was it a cartographic error? Did it sink due to a tidal wave? Because of its geopolitical significance, some have even suggested it was blown up by the CIA. A 2009 study by the Autonomous University of Mexico concluded that Isla Bermea does not exist today, nor were there any traces found as its supposed coordinates. Yet it will forever remain a mystery that will surely keep many entertained. And the longest alien signal ever? In 1977, Ohio State University's Big Ear Radio Telescope, used in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, detected a signal now known as the WOW signal. While reviewing the data, astronomer Jerry R. Amon noticed a sequence represented as 6EQUJ5. Baffled by the anomaly, he circled it and wrote WOW in the margins. The signal lasted 72 seconds and has never been repeated. To this day, no one can fully explain the phenomena, although some suggest it may have come from a man-made source. Still, the WOW signal remains one of the strongest candidates for potential extraterrestrial contact ever detected. The disappearance of an entire Inuit village. How is it possible for an entire village to vanish without a trace? Well, believe it or not, this is said to have happened nearly a century ago. According to lore, a small Inuit village in Canada was well known among fur trappers and was visited regularly for trade. But in 1930, something very strange supposedly occurred. A hunter named Joe LaBelle claimed he visited the village one day and couldn't find a single person.
Reports said there were guns and food left behind, and even claims that graves in the cemetery were empty. A thorough investigation, however, found no conclusive evidence of what happened to the villagers. Some witnesses from nearby towns even reported seeing a huge green light. Theories ranged from mass migration to extraterrestrial abduction. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police has since dismissed the case as an urban legend. Some still believe the story to be true, however. And what about the Joyita mystery? We know thousands of shipwreck stories, but this one is unique. The MV Joyita, designed to be nearly unsinkable, was found adrift in the South Pacific, practically unharmed, but the crew had disappeared completely. In October of 1955, the merchant vessel left the port of Apia in Samoa with 16 crew members and 9 passengers bound for the Tokelau Islands. After days without news, a rescue mission was launched. 5 weeks later, the Joyita was spotted more than 600 miles west of its intended route. The vessel was particularly submerged, and there were no signs of the passengers or crew. 4 tons of cargo and all 3 life rafts were missing. They were never seen again. Okay, on from that mystery onto a mummy and mysterious fluid. Do you know where one of the best preserved mummies was found? Hint, not in Egypt. Xinjui, the Marquis of Day, during the Western Han Dynasty in China, was discovered in her tomb at Mawangdui 2,000 years after her death, along with hundreds of valuable documents and artifacts. What makes the mummy so extraordinary is how well-preserved her body is. Her organs and veins remain intact. She still has hair and even eyelashes. Scientists analyzed the fluid present in the coffin and discovered it was acidic and contained salt and magnesium. They believe the mysterious liquid may have been responsible for preserving Jin Zui so well. What they don't know is whether it was intentionally poured into the coffin or came from the body itself. A prime minister missing. The United States has its fair share of presidents who died while in office, but none of our 45 presidents have ever disappeared without a trace. Did you know that this is actually happening in the land down under? Harold Edward Holt was the Prime Minister of Australia from 1966 until his presumed death in 67. He loved the ocean and spearfishing. During a weekend trip with friends, Holt visited the remote Cheviot Beach to take a swim. Rough sea conditions that caused him to be swept away by the waves, and he never reappeared. Despite an intensive search, his body was never found, which has given rise to numerous conspiracy theories. Ironically, Australians built the Harold Holt Memorial Swimming Center in Melbourne in his honor. And then there's the anonymous hijacker. Many famous criminals have managed to remain unidentified for decades, but D.B. Cooper case is something else entirely. In 1971, Cooper boarded a flight from Portland to Seattle. Shortly after takeoff, he showed a flight attendant a device he claimed was a bomb and demanded 4 parachutes and $200,000 in cash. The crew landed to meet Cooper's demands in exchange for the passengers and then took off again. As the plane flew over southwestern Washington, Cooper jumped into the cold, rainy night carrying his haul. His whereabouts and true identity were never discovered, although it is likely he didn't survive the jump. In 1980, some of the ransom money was found near the Columbia River. Although the FBI officially closed the case in 2016, amateur sleuths continue to try to crack it. Dancing to death. Can you imagine an epidemic where the main symptom is uncontrollable dancing? And I don't mean dancing with the stars, just dancing. Sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? Yet this really happened during the Middle Ages. In 1518, a dancing plague struck Strasbourg. Alsace is what is now France. The strange condition affected up to 400 people, making them dance frantically for weeks. It is said that some even died of heart attacks, exhaustion, and stroke. Doctors and authorities tried all kinds of measures to stop the spread. They even banned music for a while. To this day, scientists are not certain what caused the bizarre condition. It may have been food poisoning from toxins in the ergot fungus, or perhaps a case of stress-induced mass hysteria. But they did dance to death. A manuscript that no one understands. The Voynich manuscript is a codex written roughly 500 years ago in an unknown language and an unknown writing system. It is written by an anonymous author. Known as the Voynichesi, the manuscript was named after Wilfred Voynich, a Polish bibliophile and antiquarian who purchased it in 1912. Radiocarbon testing has shown that it dates to the early 15th century. Many cryptographers and codebreakers have attempted to decipher it roughly 240 pages, but without success. The manuscript contains diagrams and illustrations of unknown plants and astrological symbols. Some believe it may be a made-up language or a secret code, a work of fiction, or even a hoax. If you think you can solve the mystery, the Voynich manuscript is available for viewing at Yale University's Beinecke Rare Book and Manuscript Library. And finally, an ancestor of the movable type printing. Similar to the Voynich manuscript, the Phytos disc is a fired clay disc believed to have been created during the Bronze Age. It was discovered by an Italian archaeologist in the basement of a palace in Crete, Greece, in 1908. What makes this disc fascinating is that it contains a mysterious message. Stamped into the clay is a set of signs forming a text that many scientists have tried to discover, but never have they been able to decipher it. It is considered an early attempt at printing, a technological innovation that would not become widespread for several centuries. While enthusiasts still hope the enigma can be solved, this is unlikely unless other documents are discovered to provide the context. Well, this article started with the question, why do we say barking up the wrong tree? Stephanie Friedman writes, happy livers and angry feet. A study reveals where the ancient Mesopotamians felt emotions. Smile in your liver. Bally medicine man Ketut Lear urges Elizabeth Gilbert in the author's iconic memoir, Eat, Pray, Love. The sentiment is heartwarming, but has likely left some readers wondering, how do you smile or express any emotion at all in your liver? While many modern-day humans aren't familiar with this concept, the ancient Mesopotamians certainly were. Thanks to new research from Finland's Aalto University, we now have a better understanding of how our ancestors in this region associated emotions with different parts of the body. The Mesopotamians observed anger in their legs and feet, while they felt happiness in, you guessed it, their livers. If you compare the ancient Mesopotamian bodily map of happiness while you're looking at modern bodily maps published by the fellow Finnish scientist Lauri Nummenenma and colleagues a decade ago, it is largely similar with the exception of a notable glow in the liver. To glean the information, the research team analyzed 1 million words of the Semitic language Akkadian, written on clay tablets in cuneiform from 934 to 612 BC. They looked for consistent relationships between linguistic expressions related to both emotions and bodily sensations. For instance, the ancient writers frequently described feeling open, shining, or full in the liver when indicating happiness. Then, the researchers calculated statistical regularities between the emotional verbiage and the language referring to body parts. The result? Bodily sensation maps that display patterns for 18 separate emotions specified by Mesopotamians, including surprise, envy, and pride. The researchers concluded that the ancient humans related sympathy and Schadenfreude which is a positive reaction to someone else's misfortune, to the chest, throat, and lower face, desire to the liver, heart, and legs, and fear to everywhere except the hands and upper head. Even in ancient Mesopotamia, there was enough rough understanding of anatomy, for example, the importance of the heart, liver, and lungs. Aside from differences around happiness, another aspect of the data varies widely from analysis of where emotions are felt in the body today. Participants in the 2014 study by Newman Ma reported experiencing anger primarily in the head, torso, and arms, which lines up with the terms like boiling over and seeing red and being a hothead that modern English speakers commonly use to express the emotion. But these descriptors starkly contrast with those from our Mesopotamian ancestors who referenced anger in relation to the opposite end of the body. However, the team behind the 2024 research added that as accurate as their data is, emotions are subjective enough that it's tough to make definite conclusions about how they felt for humans as wholes. It remains to be seen whether we can say something in the future about the kind of emotional experiences that are typical for humans in general. We have to keep in mind that the texts are texts and emotions are lived and experienced. And yet, because this is the first instance of researchers using quantitative analysis of ancient Near Eastern texts to associate emotions with body parts, the work opens the door to further exploration into the intercultural differences and similarities in emotional experiences across time. Stephanie Friedman wrote, "Happy Livers and Angry Feet. Study reveals where the ancient Mesopotamians felt emotions." And since we're coming to the end of the program for today, I'd like to leave you with this thought from Betty Friedan, who wrote The Feminine Mystique. "The only way for a woman, as for a man, to find herself is to know herself as a person and is to be creative through work of her own." Betty Friedan. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of today's articles. I hope you enjoyed them, and please think about joining us next time when we cover very unusual topics on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be happy. Be well. Bye-bye.